Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A man, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined this week by Joe Gilbert, cousin Joe, Fed Asian Joe, Fed Pilled Joe from deep in the heart of the Ozarks. Joe, we just recorded like 20 minutes of a live show, and my technical difficulties fucked everything up. We totally shit the bed. But here we are. We're going to try this one more time, but we're just going to do audio only this time.
Yeah, we really need to get you off Windows Vista, man. Like, it's time to upgrade.
Yeah, so I have this MacBook, and it is from 2017. Mm-hmm. So it is a really old MacBook, but it has served me well. And yeah. Look, I can afford a new computer. I just don't want to buy one.
Yeah.
But like, same, look, I just bought a new webcam. It's a really nice webcam. It's not working great right now because I think my computer's too old to run it.
Yeah.
But I did not want to buy one of those because I already had one, and it cost me like $35 to buy this webcam. And I'm saying, why didn't I just buy this like forever ago? But it's just the way that I am. I had that Dodge Ram, that 2012 Dodge Ram. And I drove that thing into the fucking ground. I it was paid off. I did not want to trade it in. But one day it rained really bad, and I had I had puddles underneath my back seat.
And
I didn't know it. And I'm just like driving around, it's like musky and kind of stinky. I'm like, I didn't know why. And then one day I lifted up. I was like, this went on for like a week. I lifted up the back seat because like it has like the bucket seat in the back. I lifted that up to get out some ratchet straps because I was going to haul something. I go to pull it out, and it's just two puddles of water underneath like each seat. And I told my wife, and she's like, it's time. You need to just, she's like, you have a good job. Just go get another truck. I was like, okay. So I finally fucking did it. So that's kind of how I am. I get the feeling by the end of the year, I'm going to have another MacBook, but
yeah. Or, you know, just buy a PC because they can do everything a MacBook can do for like half the price.
Yeah, but they have all the fucking viruses. I don't know how many PCs I've had that have gotten AIDS. I'm not interested in Windows AIDS.
Yeah, I've had a Dell computer that I do a lot of nefarious stuff on, and I don't even have antivirus on my computer, and I've not had any issues with it. So
yeah,
websites a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I like to watch AEW pay-per-views. So I have to go to certain places for those.
I also venture to those places and no issues. uBlock Origin. Wonderful tool.
Yeah. Let me, I might look into it. I did have a Dell Movie Studio Suite for a long time, but again, that was another one that I had for like over 10 years. So
yeah.
it took me a long time to get rid of that thing. And it was one that I got multiple viruses on because of my nefarious sites that I would like to go to. Cause that computer was hooked up to my television, and I remember trying to watch a Floyd Mayweather fight. And, this is like early in my marriage, and my wife comes in and I'm like pulling up the stream, and all of a sudden it says, do you want to have sex with Asian girls? Like on the thing is like a pop-up ad, and I can't click off of it. And I'm trying to get that little red X there in the corner of it. Right. And I click on the Asian lady's like arm. I'm like, damn it. It's going to the site. I'm like, oh my God, you know, and next thing you know, I got all the spyware, and now I can't watch the Mayweather fight. It fucking almost ruined my life.
Yeah. See, I do the same thing. I've got my Dell Inspiron that I run Plex off of. It's hooked to my TV, and I'll venture to those sites when I need to watch a pay-per-view. I've got uBlock Origin and it, no pop-ups. Don't have to worry about clicking out of anything. No viruses. I've been, you know, I've had the same computer for 5 years now without any issues. So
nice.
Maybe spend $600 on a Dell Inspiron as opposed to $1,200 on a MacBook.
Yeah, I think MacBooks are close to $2,000 now, but the one that I have now, I think I spent like 15 on, but all right. Well, that's enough nerdy computer talk. Let's talk some pro wrestling. There's a lot to get into. We did just have these conversations, Joe, but let's just do it again for the people. Maybe my buddy John texted me. He's like, he goes, you might want to go from the top, Mike, because I was frozen like the whole time. So
So
I think where I want to get started is the AEW and WWE. Their war continues. WWE continues to do some pretty shady stuff with their counter programming. It's not illegal, but it is, I would say, like, it's not very nice to blatantly target a smaller promotion and counter program them. That way they cannot be as successful. As some would say, it's downright predatory, but they're doing it again with WrestlePalooza going head to head, or at least it was going head to head with AEW's All Out, AEW's second biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
Well, AEW decided to avoid the competition. They moved their show back to 3 p.m. Eastern time to avoid WrestlePalooza, which is going on at 7 p.m. Eastern time. There's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about this. But Joe, I know you're you primarily watch the WWE, but what do you think of this story? What do you think of AEW's move to avoid the counter programming?
I would not have moved my show for this particular one. I just feel like the launch of the ESPN app and it being $30 a month, when WWE fans have been conditioned to spend less than $12 a month for the better part of a decade now, you're going to be asking them to spend $30. Going head-to-head for this month, a WWE show is never going to have a smaller pool of fans that they'll be broadcasting to. If I were AEW, I would want to be going head-to-head this time and then be shouting from the rooftops, whether you can prove it or not, that our show did more viewers head-to-head than WWE's.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. I can understand not wanting to lose the potential buys, but I think you can get a PR win. And right now, you're either telling fans, hey, you can spend $45 to watch our 12, 15 matches. Most of it is going to be excellent. Or you can spend $30 to watch their six matches, five or six. They've been doing six here lately, but five or six.
Yeah.
With a good portion of it maybe not being very good. I don't know how Brock's going to look coming back. I'm sure he'll be fine. He looks juiced to the gills, but you just don't know. You do know what you're going to get out of an AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, AEW pay-per-views are pretty much like they're always very top tier as far as the action goes and the matches go. I don't think anybody serves their fans better than AEW. AEW fans rarely leave their shows disappointed. I know there were some issues when the Death Riders were on top, but even then, like a lot of times they had, you know, several good matches on the undercard to kind of make up for the disappointing main event. Right. I agree with you, Joe. Not for the same reason. Like, I do get the fact that there's going to be a lot less people watching this show because of the platform that it's on for the WWE Wrestlepalooza. Although I don't know what the numbers are for the new ESPN app. I get the feeling they can't be doing too bad, because a lot of people are going to get that app with their subscription. Not YouTube TV though. I can't watch it.
So right now, not YouTube TV, not DirecTV, not Dish Network, not I think maybe Hulu Live.
Well, you would think Hulu, they're the same company.
Yeah, not Sling TV, not Fubo TV. So like the biggest providers right now are not connected to the ESPN app, to the ESPN platform.
Okay. So it looks like they're just targeting like Comcast and Spectrum and stuff like that.
Yeah. Where they had existing deals before, I believe. Now, okay. I did read that the expectation is that they'll get deals and they want to make sure it's done before WrestleMania, but WrestleMania is a long ways away.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do see your point. I know there is a crossover. I don't think there is enough of a crossover to where there's going to be people that don't want to buy AEW's pay-per-view because they would rather watch John Cena and Brock Lesnar for $30. And maybe that's just naivete. You know, I know that was Brian Alvarez's point, and I thought he made a great point. I agree with his point. Dave Meltzer made the point that they would be losing probably $1 million or maybe more if they didn't move it. Because of this, I just am not so sure that I actually buy that. I think that if you're an AEW fan and you're going to buy an AEW pay-per-view, which you would have to be a hardcore fan to spend $50 on a wrestling show, I don't think that you are having a hard time choosing between Wrestlepalooza and All Out. Like, you're going to watch All Out. It's the second biggest show of the year.
I think the fans who are going to watch either show are going to watch those shows regardless of what's going against it. Honestly, I think the biggest competition for both shows is college football that weekend.
Yeah. What, you know, it's hard. I know you don't have the schedule in front of you, but do you know, like, off top of your head, are there any like big games that week?
I don't. Honestly, I think schedule wise, most of the big games are going to be starting in October. Okay. We had the week one kickoff stuff, but like conference games usually don't kick off until October.
Yeah. I know this week there weren't really like that many big games. I know that there was Oklahoma and Michigan.
Yeah.
And then what was the prime? Was that was the primetime game, wasn't it?
That was the college game day one they went to campus. The Mizzou Kansas game was a pretty big one because that's a pretty heated rivalry, and they hadn't played in 14 years in football.
Are either team like, I know, is Mizzou ranked? I think Mizzou might be ranked, but I don't think Kansas is ranked, right?
So Kansas. So Mizzou became ranked after the Kansas game. They're ranked 25 now. If Kansas would have won, I think Kansas would have been in that 25 spot. So Kansas was 2-0 going into the game. But that one was just a big one, because like, it is legitimately two states that hate each other, not so much two schools. So there were some big games, but we're kind of really into the point where the schedules are going to be pretty soft until October.
Yeah.
But college football is still very big, because you've got, you know, what, 75 games every Saturday. You know, each of those games are probably going to do 200,000 to 2 million. So that's really, I think, the bigger competition for both shows, as opposed to competing against each other.
Yeah. And then you have, like, there's always usually a UFC on one of those weekends. And so like, there's definitely gonna be a lot of different things to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I wish, just for my own curiosity, I know it's not my money, it's an easy thing for me to say, like, Tony, hey, don't worry about losing money. I need you to find the answer for me. Like, how would your show have done had you stayed in your time slot? I'm curious. I just want to know the answer. And now I'm never going to know that answer.
Yeah. And I think at some point you have to stop worrying about what the other guy is doing and only focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And focus on what your show is doing and what your show is accomplishing. Because if you keep moving around because of what WWE is doing, WWE is going to keep doing it, and you're going to end up making a mistake. WWE can afford to make mistakes. They're getting $1 billion just for their their monthly pay-per-views alone. They can afford to make mistakes. Don't let WWE force you into one.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I agree with it. Like I said, again, it's not our money. I would have much rather seen the guy just say, you know, fuck you, I'm not moving. I don't care what you're doing. We're just focused on what we're doing. And I think that probably would have galvanized his audience. Because when AEW first came out, they were a movement, right? Yeah. Like they were the anti-WWE movement. And nobody really wants to, like, on the AEW side, wants to even talk about that. But their fan base, they're an anti-WWE fan base. Like, that's why the company was created. They were created to go to war with WWE. No one wants to say that because Tony has kind of been playing nice other than a few quips here and there. You know, the bald asshole comments and talking about how he has more fucking money than they do and stuff like that. But he hasn't really done anything downright predatory to WWE. Versus the other way, like WWE has used some pretty distasteful business practices to get at them. I think the worst thing the WWE has ever done to AEW was let go of Miro and Aleister Black and then tell them, hey, if you can get out of your contract, you can come back.
I think
that's probably the worst thing that they've ever done, but they've done some pretty fucking damning stuff.
Another thing you have to worry about, it's not just WWE, though. We have to think TKO as a whole, because if you move your show just for a WWE show, what's to stop them from putting a UFC show on their weekend? What's to stop them from putting a boxing show, because they're doing TKO boxing? Like, what's to stop them from loading up a AAA, TNA, NXT event and just making sure that they've got every weekend?
What's to stop them from putting on bull riding from Rumble?
like at some point you've got to stand your ground, because if you keep moving, they're going to keep doing it and loading up even worse.
I agree, I do wonder I think it would be difficult to add an NXT show that day, because doesn't NXT have a show like near that time already?
Well, they've got Worlds Collide next Friday, so they're doing an NXT AAA show after SmackDown next Friday. So that one starts at 9. So like the weekend of the 20th, they're not going to be able to throw an NXT show on there. But you know what? The next time that AEW schedules a pay-per-view, they can just look at the show in October, which is in St. Louis. I forget what exact date it is at the Chaffetz Arena, but WWE could throw together an NXT show in a month, and they don't care how many tickets sell to it. If they put 1,000 people in that arena, they just, you know, need to take viewers away. So,
right. Well, with NXT, there's no indication that that's actually happened, which is why now they're doing the main roster stuff. I think, and the NXT counter programming, I think, has only helped AEW and only hurt NXT. But now you got WrestlePalooza, which is a much bigger thing, which Brock Lesnar and John Cena is a huge match. So I think the thought is that that would actually do some damage, which that's the prevailing thought. Obviously, they moved the show. So, but I think if they did anything with NXT, it wouldn't do anything to hurt AEW. It would be curious to see if they put on a AAA show with some main roster stars, if that would have done it. But again, they got a show the previous week. So I don't think they can do that, but maybe they'll call up TNA and say, hey, TNA, go to the Impact Zone and crank out something, do something.
Well, and AEW announces their pay-per-views so far out enough. Like I said, I don't think it would be much for them to want to throw a UFC on the same weekend.
And
especially when UFC gets on Paramount next year, where they could probably be a little bit more flexible with what time they start, because they're not having to worry about pay-per-view buys at that point. It's just going to be on the subscription service. So if AEW is announcing their pay-per-view dates 2, 3, 4 months in advance, I think the October one, I'm drawing a blank on what the name of it is, but I think that one was announced 2 months ago. It's not going to take much for them to be able to just say, hey, we'll throw a UFC event and you know, see, just put you up against it and see who watches what.
Yeah, I think the October is a Wrestle Dream, I think is what it's called.
Wrestle Dream, yeah.
But I you know what? I don't see Dana White fucking wanting to play that game. Like, Dana White has never really, like, went out counter-programming his competition. That just was not his deal. I don't think that he would play ball. I could be wrong. He just doesn't see, he's, like, very much a no-bullshit type of guy. Like, he doesn't like to play those kind of games. He's the guy, like, the best thing he did to his competition to kill them, besides buy them, right? Like when they became for sale, like they got sued because UFC went in and bought those promotions.
Yeah.
The worst thing that he ever did to keep the fighter pay low and to keep his thumb on his competition was to just not negotiate with his fighters whenever it came to contract negotiations and just let them walk into Bellator and let them walk into PFL. Yeah. Say, okay, you can get that. Go get it. See what happens. And then they go there and sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, but nobody fucking watches. And that was the worst thing that he's done to his competition, obviously, besides buy them. I just don't know that he would play those fucking games. We haven't seen that yet where there was like targeting counter programming from the UFC side, but for sure we've seen it with now WWE, NXT, and I think that we'd be seeing it from AAA. And if they could get their if they can get more power and influence over TNA, I could see them trying to do that with TNA too.
Yeah, I with UFC, I'm more thinking of the possibility when they get on Paramount.
Okay.
Because I think with UFC, they were less willing to do that because they were dependent on buy rates.
Right.
When they're on Paramount, they're not going to be so dependent on buy rates. So, I mean, well, there's no more buy rates. It's just on a streaming service. And which TK as a whole.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That is a long time coming. But TKO as a whole is a group of assholes. I mean, that's, Nick Khan, Dana White, Ari Emanuel, those are all like sleazy assholes. They're very good at their jobs in terms of making their companies money, but they're sleazy assholes. That's why they got where they are.
Yeah. I just, you know what I mean? But when it comes to the MMA side of the house, like if UFC did not want PFL on ESPN, they wouldn't be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just haven't seen them do anything like that. They let Jon Jones go to a PFL show and like be on camera and do a face-to-face with Francis Ngannou, right? To promote a fight that was never going to happen. They let Conor McGregor be part owner of Bare Knuckle Fighting and go to their shows. And they have some big shows. Like they don't really care as long as they're not fighting. They haven't really done much of the counter-programming type stuff.
Yeah, but those two names you also mentioned are also guys that they know for a fact are never going to fight in the UFC again. Like they know Connor's not fighting again. They know John's not fighting again.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still their IP, right? Like, and they still allowed it to happen. But there some other big news happened this week. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because I just don't understand the hoopla. I have a theory, but I want to hear what your theory is first. AJ Lee, Saudi Phil's wife, returned to the WWE this past week. She signed a multi-year agreement. She returned on SmackDown after Becky slapped the shit out of Punk a bunch of times. Looks like they're going to be one of the top matches at WrestlePalooza. It's going to be Becky and Seth Rollins versus Saudi Phil and AJ Lee.
Yep.
I saw men like crying on Twitter and actually using like cry face emojis. I saw like some streamers like with tears in their eyes seeing AJ Lee come back. And she's back with her old music and she's wearing the Chuck Taylors and the Daisy Dukes. I don't get it. Like, why is this so exciting? Joe, explain it to me.
There are, especially in WWE, but there are a lot of women who did not identify with the divas of wrestling, the Bellas, the Kelly Kellys, the Michelle McCools, the Layla Ells during that time. And just because AJ Lee was a bit different, she was different in how she presented herself, that they purely became fans or stayed fans because of somebody like AJ Lee. And when AJ Lee left, that was around the time that you started to get the Beckys, the Charlottes, the Baileys, the Sashas that came up and kind of changed the trajectory. But AJ and even Paige during that time,
so
they were just...
I felt like Paige was a real star for them. And I thought Paige was like that first impetus. I just kind of felt like AJ Lee was there. I know she was the general manager for a while and they had her doing like the crazy chick thing where she was like manipulating men into doing her bidding. I never really saw her. Like I couldn't tell if she had a good match or not. I know maybe she did. I don't know.
She wrestled in a time where women weren't allowed to be stars.
Yeah.
She was getting popular in a time that the fans were forcing WWE to allow it, and then she left.
Right.
So there is a part of it that she left as things were getting hot for the women. But I think the way she talked, the way she acted, the way she dressed, the way she just presented herself is something that a lot of women who were probably younger, maybe the teens, early 20s, who wanted to watch wrestling but couldn't identify themselves with any of the other top women really identified with her.
Okay. I guess I could see that. The men I'm not really too sure about, like why they're crying on social media and on the streams, like have
those
some
men decorum. Are weirdos and they should not be taken seriously.
Yeah. I do feel like she was gone for 10 years. I think a lot of the like fans that you're seeing that are doing this, that are getting really emotional about it, were probably like 15 when she was on television. And so maybe cause she was only on the main roster for like what, 4 years.
Yeah. About that. And there is a part of it that, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Yeah. She left really young too. She was only 28 when she left. She's only 38 now.
Yeah.
And another part of it is you'll hear a lot of the Roxanne Perez's, Cora Jade when she was there, Naomi, a lot of the women who have been publicly begging AJ to come back. That's just something else, like seeing some of their current favorite wrestlers be such a fan of somebody makes them more of a fan of that person. So I do think that's part of it as well. But it's just she was something different in a time that women weren't allowed to be different.
Okay, well, I guess I could see it. I don't know, when I went to WrestleMania in Santa Clara, she had a match on that show, and when she came out, a lot of people just headed to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But that was like, you know, typical Divas matches, right? That's what they
did. You knew the match was going to be like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing. This match, and she's got the perfect opponent for it, but this match will probably be the first time she really gets to cut loose as a pro wrestler.
Well, we'll see if she's any good, because people are saying that she's good at it, but I'm like, I don't know. I need to see it on tape. And I watched back then when she was around. I just was like, I'm just not impressed by this person. Like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. Maybe it was a different time in my life. I was in my 30s versus my teens. And so I'm not really going to be all caught up with some little lady that's like, you know, prancing around and Chuck Taylor's like, I don't know, but maybe I the whole act did not appeal to me. And the whole crazy chick manipulating men to do stuff for her, I was just like, this is stupid. I thought it was dumb television.
Yeah. I would just say, like, I would challenge you to think of a single women's match from pre-2015 in WWE that was any good.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They, you know, they didn't really start getting good. I would say probably like 2014, right around when Paige was in NXT. Because I thought Paige was pretty good back then. And then I think she came up and had some good matches. Now, I couldn't sit here and name them. That's a long time ago. But then when Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Bayley kind of came up, that's when really things started to change. But I felt like it was Paige, and then it was like those four ladies, and that's kind of where everything is. I just didn't see AJ Lee even having the least bit of influence on that whole situation. But I don't know, maybe I'm misreading like the history. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to what she meant to specifically what would have been younger female fans at the time than what you'd realize. I know for a fact, I have a roommate who I'm very good friends with. She has not cared about going to a WWE show in a long time. She'll watch just the pay-per-views with me. She was already going to be in Indianapolis, and she is going to try to go specifically for AJ Lee.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess that's a perspective that I don't have. Again, I am a 42-year-old white, you know, married with two children. So obviously I have a different taste than some of the white males you're seeing crying on Twitter using cry face emojis and all
and
that.
Those men should not be taken
being emotional.
Seriously.
Now, I'm not trying to relate to any of the females. I'm just like, I'm trying to understand the dudes that are going through their emotions on social media. I don't know. There was a guy that I saw recently because Enzo returned to a TNA and he cried when Enzo, I was just like, why are you crying? Like, what are we doing? It's fucking Enzo. It's in the pre-show.
If they're streamers, they're just doing that for clicks. Streamers have taught themselves to get emotional and to treat everything as the biggest deal in the world to get clicks.
Yeah. All right. Next story. AEW Dynamite hit record low viewership amid light competition. The September 3rd episode of AEW Dynamite held at the 2300 arena drew just 472,000 total viewers and a 0.11 rating in the 18 to 49 demo, the lowest in the show's history, and a 19% drop from the prior week, despite minimal counter-programming. Decline has raised concerns, obviously. I typically don't talk ratings too much anymore because I think with Max being involved and us not really getting access to those numbers, I think it's a moot point. However, a 19% drop in just a week coming off of that pay-per-view, and then Collision was not very good either. Collision was like less than 200,000 too. Yeah. I would, if I were AEW, I would be pretty concerned with the numbers, right? Unless they have data points that we don't get, I would be pretty damn concerned with that.
Yeah. I think the way I view it is view it as a data point and not a trend. Don't worry about data points until they're trends. If you look at NXT numbers and AEW numbers every week, they usually drop or rise about the same percentage. This week, Dynamite dropped much lower than what NXT dropped. I wouldn't worry about
NXT
it.
NXT held up.
NXT.
Shit, Josh Allen just threw an interception in the end zone. Sorry.
NXT, yeah. I think the previous week was in like the 700 range and around like 19 or 20 in the demo. Whereas this past week they were in like the 655 range and like, or not 19 and 20 in the demo. I think they were like 14 or 15 in the demo. And this past week they were like 655 and like 0.14. So it held up, but there was still a drop. And I think NXT was more coming off of the holiday was Monday. I really don't know if that affected either one. But again, there's usually about the same drop and rise for both shows. If NXT drops on Tuesday, you usually expect to see AEW drop on Wednesday. NXT rises on Tuesday, you usually expect to see AEW rise on Wednesday. The Dynamite fell much further, but until it's a trend, just view it as a data point. If it becomes a trend, then at that point, you have to start looking at yourself and saying, what's going on? Dave did say, hey, maybe Osprey meant a lot more than we realized. That could be possible, but I wouldn't make any drastic changes or get freaked out until we see it continue.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are pointing at the venue, the 2300 Arena, which I thought looked great. I know it's very small, right, in comparison to what AEW normally runs, but they normally run these bigger arenas and they don't fill them. So that doesn't look good too. So I always felt like if you can't fill the big arenas, go fill up the small arenas. Like fill up arena that you know you can fill up, because like at least it's going to be loud and raucous with fans. And they did. It looked like a television studio, which I was fine with. That doesn't bother me. It actually looked like the Impact Zone almost.
Right.
In some like the old Impact Zone in Orlando with the way they had it set up a little bit. But so I didn't really view it as a bad thing. But I guess some people, you know, it's a barrier for them because they're watching it. It's like, oh well, there's not that many people there, so I guess I shouldn't watch it.
Yeah, I hope that's not the reason, because I thought what I seen of it, I thought the crowd came off great. I thought it looked great. I thought the production and the arena looked great. I'm not sure for that large of a drop, it's got to be a multitude of factors.
Yeah.
And like I said, I remember the when they went against the Kendrick Lamar concert, they were in the 400s then too. And everybody freaked out and were trying to figure out what it was. And then they were right back to where they should be the week after that, and then grew again a little bit. They've had a better year this year, I think, than last. So I wouldn't freak out just yet.
Yeah. No, yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I wouldn't freak out too much. The thing is that I think the biggest problem is they shot their wad on the pay-per-view. And I don't think they really had anything interesting lined up for the shows afterwards. And I felt like they just took a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that the shows were bad. I thought the shows were good, but I didn't see anything compelling that would make a viewer want to watch from week to week. Right. Like these 8-man tag matches, they're very fun. It's just not compelling television. Right. Like, you don't really care who wins the match. And so I could see that also being an issue. People want to blame it on Hangman as champion. No, I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's a problem. I would see it as an anomaly. Now, if they come back this week and it's fucking, 470 again, it's like, okay, maybe we should change some stuff around. I do think Collision from last night is probably going to eat some shit too. I know there was no NFL on last night, but you had NFL on Thursday, Friday. You had college football on Saturday, and you had NFL back today. A lot of people are watching a lot of television, and a lot of it is based around football right now. And I think that people only have so much bandwidth to watch. I forgot the Collision was on last night. So, because I had other shit to do and other shit to watch.
Yeah. I do think the Michigan OU game is going to do big numbers. I mean, that is a pretty big matchup early in the season. So I do think that'll be hard to compete with. But that's just something that Collision is going to have to deal with. I think we're beyond the point of worrying about the Collision numbers, because they just are what they're going to be. Collision numbers are just there. They're basic. It's basically Sunday Night Heat at this point with better wrestling.
Much better wrestling. But
yeah.
I thought this was pretty funny. AEW should be worried about this. Not really. TNA outdrew AEW in live event attendance this week. Legitimately. TNA Wrestling continued its momentum by drawing over 1,000 fans per night for its Impact tapings on September 4 and September 5th at the Armory in Minneapolis, Minnesota, outpacing AEW's estimated 916 tickets distributed for Dynamite on September 3rd. And I think they had around the same for the Collision show. So both companies had two shows, and TNA drew over 1,000 each night, and AEW did not. Now, caveat that AEW couldn't possibly draw more because there wasn't enough room in there for them to get over 1,000.
Yeah.
So That's why I made the joke on social media. Some people just went right over their heads, but
yeah.
But I think if I'm TNA, I'm probably advertising that. Yeah, we were the second most drawing US based company of the week behind the WWE. Like I would definitely be telling people that.
So right after the Wednesday numbers came out for Dynamite, and I don't know what the plan was initially, but is it Carlos Silva, the guy kind of in charge of TNA right now?
Yeah.
He tweeted out like where Impact was airing like free access live, like everywhere, and like making it like a big deal. And I retweeted it. It was like, oh, TNA smells blood in the water. They're coming for number two. And like a bunch of people were freaking out on me. I was like, guys, like, come on now.
AEW is sensitive about that number two trophy that they hold.
Yeah.
Not so much the company, but I would say the fan base. They're very, they like the fact that Tony has that number two trophy. And he's like, look, we have the silver medal and we're not giving it up to TNA or anybody else. We're proud of the silver medal.
I think there's such a hatred for TNA that like AEW fans want to make sure TNA fans stay in their place and like want to make sure TNA stays in their place.
And I
do think there was a point where they legitimately thought AEW was going to war and was going to try to overtake WWE. And they quickly realized that wasn't going to happen. And now they got to make sure TNA stays in their place. Talking about those specific fans, not the company.
Right, right. Well, yeah, those fans want to fight battles on behalf of the company that they know they can win. Right.
Yeah.
And so like they fought the NXT battle and they won that one.
Very proud of it.
But now they want that TNA battle. They're thirsting for it. There was talk of a TNA when they get their new TV deal, if and when that happens, going head to head with AEW. And that like people were saying that WWE was going to force TNA to go on Wednesdays, and that is not the case. And I heard it emphatically, like that's not true. Now Carlos Silva did come out and say that he would be open to Wednesday. And here's why he would be open to Wednesday. He would be open to Monday at 2:30 a.m. if somebody gave him $10 million for it. He would take any deal down the pike that he can get. So that's why he said he was open to Wednesday. But he would prefer to stay on Thursday. He doesn't want to go head-to-head with AEW. He doesn't need all the nonsense, right? Like, they don't want that. So, but I guess it's a possibility that they could go head-to-head. I don't see it happening. But what I will say is if they do end up on Thursday nights on CW, I think that's a real possibility. Yeah. And if AEW has another bad night like they had this past week, and say TNA has a good night, I think you could conceivably see TNA have more viewership on CW for a week than AEW did on TNT that week. I think that's a real possibility.
Yeah, I would ask you, what number next week for Dynamite, what number this week would make you worried if you were AEW and Dynamite? Like, is it if you're under 500 again, or is it 515? Like, what number has you worried?
I like anything under six is not good for them, but I would say super worried would be under five for sure.
Yeah. I do wonder, I think I made this joke to you before, that if TNA gets put on Wednesday, I would immediately try to get AJ Styles back in the building and put the title on him for a farewell run. Cause I think they should something.
I think they should do that anyway. Like if you're TNA, I don't think that Tony Khan would be outbid for AJ though. I don't think TNA would be able to pay more. I don't know this for a fact. I just know it's true. Tony wants AJ Styles, right? And I don't think he cares how much it would cost him. I think he would pay any price. Yeah.
I think if AJ wrestles for a company outside of WWE, it would be TNA, and it wouldn't be because of money. I think he has said several times that when he hangs them up, he wants to work for WWE as an agent or a scout in some form. Like, he's fallen in love with that company. I think he's a very much a Vince McMahon guy. I think he and Triple H get along well. And I could see him wrestling for TNA. Now, if it's a stupid amount of money, I know there's one match in AEW that he wants really bad that there's no way they can make it happen in WWE. his contract is up in February. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. But I think if TNA came to him and said, hey, like, we've got a TV deal to go live, we need you, I think it might be hard for him to pass up, seeing that the company is ran pretty well right now, and to be able to hang it up where he got started or got big.
Yeah. And I don't think WWE really wants AJ as a full-time wrestler anymore. Like, he's just up there in years, and he's still very good. He looks amazing. Yeah. He's still one of the best wrestlers in the company. I just don't think that they think that he would be worth the money anymore. Based on what he would be able to provide. I could see them trying to influence that deal for AJ to go to TNA. It's like, hey, look, you go to TNA, you work there. We'll not that they give him the money, but they, you know, there's Lorenzo Fertitta might be in the mix now. If Fertitta owns it, he would be able to afford a guy like AJ. Did Josh Allen just throw another interception? I think he did. Dude, he's shitting the bed.
I think he could afford it. How much time is left in the game for you?
Let me see. Oh, so whenever I left earlier, it went it went right back. Okay. That's what YouTube TV does. It's 40:38 now. Holy shit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So I'll finish my point on AJ. So, I think that if they got a TV deal and they got new ownership that were willing to spend, I think AJ will consider it, especially if WWE is still involved. Like, if Lorenzo Fertitta buys this thing, which we have not heard anything about that in weeks now. It's been a while, which kind of makes me think that it's probably not going to happen. But let's just say that it does, or another big spender comes in and buys the thing, knowing that they have a TV deal on the horizon. You would probably be willing to lose money on AJ Styles in order to jumpstart that company. You know what I mean? And I think that if you bought that company and TKO has like a percentage or has a cut, and like the success of TNA benefits TKO, not only because it takes away from AEW, but like now they get like a cut.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think that that AJ Styles deal could end up happening. That said, I don't think Tony Khan's getting outbid by TNA for AJ Styles. I just don't see it.
There's also a possibility that AJ could do a dual contract where he wrestles for TNA and works as a producer or a coach or something for WWE. They do have some of their active wrestlers doing creative for AAA right now. I think AJ's world experience, having wrestled literally all over the world, is a guy who could be of value to AAA. Especially NXT, but I think they could use them in AAA. And I could see AAA doesn't have to do a lot of shows. I could see a dual contract where he works as an agent, coach, producer, scout for WWE and wrestles for TNA to get them extra money.
Yeah, I don't think that's too far fetched. Like, again, I would bet against it, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. All right, last story before we get off here. Again, guys, we did this twice, so we gotta cut it short a little bit. HBO Max officially adds AEW pay-per-views to its platform, starting with All Out. AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery fulfilled a long rumored partnership by announcing on September 3rd that HBO Max will stream all future AEW pay-per-view events live and ad-free, beginning with All Out on September 20, for an exclusive subscriber price of $39.99. This marks a significant expansion for AEW's digital reach with marketing efforts centered on the platform. The deal, part of AEW's renewed TV contract from last year, positions HBO Max as the primary hub for AEW pay-per-views in the U.S. So AEW's still on Prime, and they're still on Triller, which is probably out of business by now, but they're still on Triller. And then all the cable pay-per-views that you can do, they're still there. But added to HBO Max, I thought this was the big announcement that it was just going to be on Max as part of your subscription, which would have been great for me because I am a $5 tier subscriber. I get Netflix and HBO Max with my phone bill for $10 total, so $5 for each, and so that was exciting to me. But nope, you still have to pay, so therefore I shall be a pirate. I shall stay with my pirate ways and risk my computer's health.
let me ask you this: when's the last time you paid full price for a wrestling pay-per-view?
I know exactly when it was. It was in April. It was the TNA pay-per-view. TNA Rebellion. And I paid for it because I was going live right afterwards, and my shit was not, like, I just was worried that it wasn't going to work. And Matt Tristo normally buys them, and he buys them on Triller. And I have his Triller password, but that son of a bitch decided to buy it on TNA Plus. Because he pays full price for all of them. I have his TNA Plus password, but if I log into it, it kicks him off.
Yeah.
So I ended up just buying it. That way I could have it. It was ready to go, and I could go live right afterwards. And I had the podcast money to pay for it.
Do you remember the last time before that when you didn't have to do it for a show you were recording that night?
Dude, I do. I've never paid for an AEW show.
So I paid for exactly one AEW pay-per-view. I couldn't tell you the name of the pay-per-view or when it was, but it was the FTR versus the Young Bucks match. The first one.
I can't remember exactly which one that was. Oh shit. Okay. I couldn't remember exactly which one that was, but I also paid for a couple of AEW pay-per-views because I sent Matt cash a couple of times because I had his Triller password and we were doing some barter deals between me and him, for the different pay-per-views. So I did actually use my own money to buy some, but it wasn't full price. It was like we were splitting it because we on Triller, like, as many people that want to log in can have it. So you know, you can get five people to go in on a pay-per-view and you can just have it.
The only reason I ask is because when I had seen the AEW on Max thing on not Max, HBO Go, whatever they're calling it now, I just think there's a real missed opportunity for them to not make their best shows available to as many people as possible for a great price. If AEW was on HBO Go for $12 a month, I would watch every single.
It's HBO Max. But yes, HBO Max. Okay, I agree.
They've changed the damn name so many times.
I know. Yeah. So no, but I get where you're coming from, and I totally agree. And I think it's a big mistake. But here's the problem: I don't think Max must not be offering that much money to get the exclusivity on it. So AEW is making more money off of the pay-per-view than they would be Max. Now, if Max upped that offer, then AEW would pull the pay-per-views. But as of right now, it's a pay-per-view on Max. It's not even exclusive to that platform.
Right.
So, which I think is a mistake, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things that helped WWE grow over the last 3 to 5 years was getting on Peacock. Now, Peacock 100%. isn't in the realm of Netflix or even Hulu, but I think at their peak, they had about 2 million subscribers on the WWE network. And then they moved to Peacock, which I think reached a maximum of around 40 million subscribers. So
I think they were up over like 70 million.
Were they? Okay. Having your product available to that many people, I think it helps grow your weekly shows too, because it's much easier for people to get invested in your weekly show when you can affordably see the payoff on the pay-per-view or the special, the PLE, whatever you want to call it. I think AEW, if they could find a way to get the right deal to get their best shows available to the most people possible, it would be easier for people to invest in Dynamite every week, because some people may find it hard to get invested in the weekly show because they know they can't afford the $45, the $50 to watch the payoff on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think pay-per-view, especially now with UFC going off of the pay-per-view model, it's deader than dead.
And we're seeing our first real big boxing match on Netflix coming up too next week. Yeah. Alvarez and Crawford's. I do think the pay-per-view model is going to be dying down. That is accelerating. AEW needs to have that in mind moving forward.
Yeah. Okay, Joe, you were actually really fucking spot on. Peacock had 41 million paid subscribers mm-hmm. worldwide. Wow. Yep. Okay.
And then I know in my comparison,
yeah, in comparison, HBO Max had 125.7 million yep. global subscribers at the end of Q2 2025.
Yeah.
So that's wild. So yeah, I think that would be the play, but you know, I don't know whose fault it is. I get the feeling Max doesn't exactly see the value in it, but maybe this is the impetus to get to that point, right? Maybe they'll see yeah. the value in it once they see people buying the pay-per-view on there, and they'll be like, okay, yeah. this is worth this now. Yeah. So yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I do think there's a part of it that's, it's hard to say, okay, I know I've got this base who's going to pay me $45, $50 bucks a month regardless. It's hard to let that go for a $10 subscription or a $12, yeah. whatever HBO is charging nowadays. But I think for the long-term health of your company and to make sure you have the most people available and invested as possible, I think it's a risk you might have to take. Dan, yeah. the Bills came back. What a game.
Yeah, Bills came back and won it. Wow. They were down. Josh Allen was playing like shit, too.
Yeah. Wow. That's why he's Josh Allen, though. He can do that. He's got that Brock Purdy in him.
Yeah, he's got Buffalo got the full Josh Allen experience tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey guys, that is gonna do, man. We cranked out 54 more minutes even after going 20 minutes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate you stepping up on short notice. Hey. Prayers to Astro, the Wonder Dog, JD's dog. They had an emergency vet visit, like literally, I would say an hour before Joe and I went live. So mm-hmm. clearly JD couldn't make it. So we are, you know, obviously thoughts are with JD's family. I think I got a bunch of texts. I think Astro's going to be just fine, but they had a bad scare tonight. So that's why Joe filled in. JD should be back next week, barring any other random weird circumstances. So that's going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD Show. Head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow and subscribe. I'll get this out on YouTube, everybody. And thank you for being a Patreon subscriber. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns on individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When systems go down, when tickets pile up, and your best tech walks out the door, what does all that really cost you? At CBT Nuggets, we help IT teams stay sharp, confident, and certified with online training that's built for the real world. From cybersecurity to cloud, our expert-led courses help your team close skill gaps before they turn into business risks. Invest in your team. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and unlock training that makes your team sharper and your system stronger.